Now we are going today to talk about collective trauma. What happens when the whole community goes through trauma? It's also different than individual trauma, collective trauma. How is it different than personal trauma? So imagine all those people had a huge event in their church and they experienced trauma. For example, let's use the example, they had a very good life in church and suddenly the most important person killed himself. The person that everybody was looking at. They can't process that trauma. It stuck with them and they feel all connected through that trauma. So it's their trauma. You, the rest, become them and they are us. They share something that you don't have. They share trauma. They share feeling of being victim, feeling of being disappointed, feeling of being violent through the act. They have symptoms as anger, all kinds of, I will show you the symptoms. So they are traumatized. And they go in the circle, since now they are different than you, they close their circle, and you are outsider. We don't like you anymore. You don't know how bad is it to me. So this group has their own process. It develops symptoms, shares the symptoms, cherish the symptoms, choose the symptoms. If she wants to go away, she's outsider. She can't exist on her own. She would die. She doesn't belong here. She can't identify with you. She can't stay on her own because she loses community. So she has to stay here forever and ever and ever. I mean, I don't know how differently to show you. So I do it through role play. I think it's easier in short time to understand. But this is the community itself. And they may give to their children, to their great children, grandchildren, and they stay closed in community because they have something that nobody else has. And that's their collective trauma. It's separated. And I will show you now how the trauma leads you through victim and aggressor role. Thank you, people. Do you understand what happens? What is the difference? So we call it collective trauma, shared trauma, also shared victimization and shared glory. To stay, they have to create an identity in this community. So that would be us who experience this and that, us as the victims, but us also as a community. We have something special. So we create our identity around that victimization. So we'll put maybe memorial. So we'll go every day and say, look, this is what happened to us. That's us, that's our identity. And suddenly they will not have identity before the trauma, and they will not build identity after the trauma. So this community stays in this traumatic world and their own identity that they built. They will build their glory, like it will be, you know, this poor me, you know, look what happened to me, you know. It's a kind of whole identity is created around that trauma. So suddenly in 20 years, you will see very sick group of people, but very strong group of people, because they will create the world around that topic, around their traumatic event. So whole their life will turn around that. Maybe they will build a statue of the person, remembrance. They will talk again and again how that impacted them. They will talk how terrible that was. And this narrative will just go and be present in the community. The narrative will not be transformed, because what we do, as I told you before, it's not the problem is not trauma itself. Things happened in life. accept that. Nobody promised us, like, you know, heaven on earth. But the problem is that we don't transform that to something new, that they stay in their community stuck with their symptoms. What happens later on with that group? And this becomes a very powerful community. Like, you know, it has their own identity, it has all their own working, living structure, they've developed their vert system, shared stories, they develop their glorifying acts, they choose their leaders. So kind of this becomes even separate group in the community that has their own life. Symptoms are more or less as symptoms of PTSD. This is the same for all the traumas, that you have those symptoms and they are on collective, you know, on collective level. They all have flashbacks, intrusive thoughts, emotional numbness, avoidance system, social withdrawal, all kinds of symptoms. But what they do with the symptoms, they keep it in the group and they even glorify the symptoms. This is very interesting for collective trauma.
Can you say a bit more about glorifying symptoms?
You know, if I belong to this group and I don't have those symptoms, I cannot belong. So suddenly, oh, you know, I can't sleep. Nobody can sleep. So I research the groups. Like, you know, if I say, actually, people, it's not a big deal. It's over. Like, you're kind of unrespectful to the event. So you have that from the war. Like, you know, we have to all play this victim role. If you're, as I showed you, if one goes out, it can't exist. Sometimes it can't find a new community. Sometimes people do, you know. But sometimes they accept the symptoms as part of the group. You know, if everybody have a psychosomatic symptoms, that's a glorified. Look, that's how we are impacted. Look what they did to us. Look, I can't sleep because of them. Look what they did to us. So all the symptoms go on the community level. And for you to be part of that group, you have to have what the group has. And this is the tricky part, that people who are in that group, and those are the people that destroy churches, sorry to say like that. But honestly, I researched that. Those are the people that then separate, open their own church, and then stay in their victimhood and aggressive mode. And they're all the time criticizing, you know, putting down, like, you know, because they share some collective. And we have that example a lot in post-war countries, as Yugoslavia. Suddenly one church become five churches. And each of them live their trauma in their own churches, and they have these narratives and everything. I didn't have time and money to research that more, but it was the most interesting to see, because I would go from group to group. And I will hear, you know, same story in different package. And I will hear narrative, us and them. And people are not even aware. When I say, why did you leave your church, big church? You know them. I love this us and them. That's when I figure out that that's how I should diagnose the groups, that was like, wow. Because suddenly, you know them. You know what they did to us. What did they do to you? So you have that narrative between Croats and Serbs. Me, I can't say like us with him together. It must be him separately. So, you know, it was for people interesting when I started researching trauma, and I worked in Bosnia, Croatia, Serbia, and I consciously used to see how people will react. I consciously use us with Croats. I'm going to work with our group. Which group? With ours in Croatia. They're not ours. So kind of this narrative was very triggering for people, but then I could see what is the sensitivity, what is the vulnerable part in the group. So it's very interesting how we, I think that this is the issue that destroys our churches today. Many times, and we are not even aware. You know, how do we form the groups, how we destroy the big church and make five churches in every corner. I don't know if that's the case in your countries, but in mine it is. How the collective trauma impact Christian community. I mean, I don't have to tell you much about that. I think that you can all see. In all those things, we are more than conquerors through him who loves us. And I believe in that. So that's where we want to get with our group. Through collective trauma, the Christian community is reminded of its resiliency. So we want to put people from the level of the trauma destruction, as I told you before, it's not, to the level of trauma resiliency. So we want to lead this group that I explained to you, this group that is disappointed, angry, hurted, scared. You know, when some huge leader can do something like that, that's traumatizing. It scares me. What will be with me? What is the point of the church? You know, what is my future? It can happen to me. It can happen to my family. So all those things here, we have to make those steps to bring them to the resiliency, to healing, and to memorizing. Our church has transgenerational collective trauma. We don't talk much about it. We don't say those things. We don't express. But what is that we do with that? What is actually, you know, helping? It would help a lot to talk to the next generation about what is our church built on. And come on, let's not forget, what did our church do through the history? Crusaders. I was watching one documentary about crusaders, and you know, did we really, as the Christians, do all of that?
Yeah, I said it's not my church.
Is that? Yeah, yeah, it's them. It's not us. Not us. And that's exactly when I tried to address that issue. She said, phew, you know when that was? You know, it was. Is it still? You know, I ask myself, several weeks ago, I was thinking, what would happen if all the Christians keep only one command very seriously, don't kill? Imagine the world, if all the Christians, I'm not talking the rest of the world, keep only one command, do not kill. How would the world look like? So it means that we did make our hands dirty with blood of others. This doesn't disappear in air. This is transferred to the next generation. That's why, especially for us as experts, it's important to talk about it. We will focus here on the church and the group of church. First, collective trauma, whether caused by the war, or by any other event. Is impacting community. First, loss and suffering. So the community together will experience loss and suffering. So they will have to go through the mourning process. So refuge and strength. When you go through loss and suffering, you sometimes feel like you lost floor under your knee. So whole your community, Christian community, will be shaken. So suddenly you will see people fighting with each other, people being very sensitive, vulnerable. You say to somebody in the church, oh, good morning. They would say, why did you tell me good morning with that sound, with that, you know? Suddenly they would just turn back, they would be offended, and then you ask yourself, what's wrong? Because hypersensitivity, when people are vulnerable, creates conflict in the community. Hypersensitivity, it's very dangerous, and it comes from loss and suffering. That's why we have a conflict in the church sometimes over such stupid things. Sorry, but really, when I listen, I did a lot of mediation in the churches, and people would ask me to come to mediate between two groups, and that, then I would say, like, can we have even more stupid problem than this? And they don't see it. It's very serious problem for them. But it's really like on the level of my, in the kindergarten, you didn't look at me when I told you this. Or you didn't respond to my phone, you responded a day later. You didn't tell me good morning when I And then when I speak, what's wrong with you people? Where is this coming from? They would look at me. How old are you? Can we talk about it? But you know what they did to us, two groups. And they, I love working on those mediations because I learn always a lot. But it's very complex. Point is to save the church, to stay one community. That's why I really invest a lot in that. But sometimes when you make them aware, it's not about what they did to you. It's about how hurtful and vulnerable you are. When I, like this example, when you are fully burned, even the smile hurts. And somebody says, hi, and knock you on the shoulder and you scream. And that's how traumatized church behave. They lose refuge and strength. God is our refuge and strength and ever-present help in trouble. That's where we want to bring them back, that they understand, that they can rebuild their stability, compassion and solidarity. Trauma attacks that too. So suddenly you're compassionate only with your group. So those people will love each other, will cherish each other, will support each other even in very bad things because we belong together. You killed somebody from the other side, we forgive you, you know, we belong together. You destroyed so many things, but you belong to us. As long as you do to other group, it's fine. And I think we experience that a lot in war. Would you agree with me? You know, as long as you do to the others, God will forgive you. But don't do it to us. You will be terribly punished because you have to be loyal to us. You have to give everything for us to be able to belong. We are the traumatized one. So glory starts. So our church would be really using compassion, solidarity, renewing faith and purpose. Suddenly their purpose will be their trauma. So we have to renew it. We have to really work on that to, to renew it. Because purpose of my life is to show them how bad they are. And we had that. That was really interesting to observe in our war. You know, whole purpose of Serbs was to show how bad the Croats are. And whole purpose of church is to show how holy, holy we are and how bad others are. When the church starts holy, holy, ask yourself, diagnose. And when the church starts with, oh, we pray at 6 o'clock in the morning. Did you see those others don't do that? Like, you know, I mean, I'm terrible joking about it, but when you work for such a long time in it, it is happening. It is true. And they don't even recognize it. That they have to be better than others because suddenly they are others. Us and others. So they really have to renew faith and purpose. Why are we here on earth? Who are we? Do we as church exist only to show how holy we are and how bad others are? Is this our only purpose? You know, so you have to confront groups with those topics. Of course, then we have hope and restoration. The biblical narrative is one of redemption and restoration, offering hope that can bring beauty from ashes. And as Isaiah says, a garment of praise instead of spirit of despair, a reminder that God can bring healing and renewal to community impacted by collective trauma. We have to do consciously. We have to really understand what that means and how to bring the church to that level. This is where we want church to bring. How is the narrative of trauma event shaping the Christian community? This group will build their story. After a while, first they will cry out, they will be offended, they will be angry, and then they will start telling the story. You know what is interesting when I research the stories? That stories with the time go so far away from the real event. I don't know if that's your experience, but when I research what I heard, like, you know, 15 years later, and then I said, okay, let me really try to find out and then go through papers to the first meeting about event, what was said there. I look at the first story and said, what are people talking about? This story has nothing to do with the story here. So it means that the story was shaped how the group deepened their trauma and their identity. So they put elements in the story to give them enough elements to build their group identity. So what was not in the real event, they have to put in it to build a group identity. Serbs are experts in that. You know, when you see some events, what happens, and then you ask yourself, like, what you listen 10 years later, why the groups do that? Not because they want to lie, but because the story must give them enough elements to build a community, traumatized community. If the story doesn't have enough elements in it, you create them. You know, you have to tell narratives and narrative trauma. We don't have time. This time I didn't even touch on narrative trauma. How are the story told and how narratives are impacting also next generation? So here the group will create narrative. Group is shaped by sense and vulnerability, as I told you. Whatever you tell them, your enemy. Suddenly they're very sensitive. Crisis in faith, call to compassion. They call for compassion, but they will not accept the support from other group. It goes only, and even when I try to help groups, you know what is the first thing that they tell me? You don't know how it is with us. You're outsider. You don't know how we suffered. You don't know. You can't understand that. You were not there. You know. Then I confront them with that. Okay, tell me. I'm willing to listen. You know. No, we are not going to tell you. You can't understand. And then I confront them. Do you believe I can't understand, or you don't want me to join your group and talk about the story? So you have to be confrontive. Unhealed trauma creates circle of victimhood and violence. This is for me to, what we want to do. But let us understand what is actually happens if we don't heal. What are we creating? You know, what happens after that? But it's important, if we don't lead our church, we create victim mentality. And victim mentality prevent people grow. We will have unmature, unhealthy, screaming and whining church with chronic unsatisfaction, with chronic criticism. If you preach this, why did you preach this? I wanted to listen to that. If you did this, why this youth group? Why not that? And then you poor us, look what happens to us. This is so terrible. And it happens. And I was part of the church that was crying and whining and poor us, poor us, poor us. So reacting of trauma. So they will repeat traumas. They will react their own traumas. And if they don't have an enemy, that's what I said for Jews. If you don't have a Palestinians, you would make them out of mud. Because you have to have enemy. Give me enemy. I have to, you know, this group will, after a while, we don't have lots of time. It's interesting to see all the steps, how they are developing certain systems. After a while, they are 10 years together, suffering whining, crying, all this. And then they will, who is our enemy? Now I need aggressor to prove that I'm a victim. If I'm victim in the victimhood mentality, all the time I need to have aggressor. You know those women who are all the time going back to the man who is beating them up? If he doesn't exist, how can I be a victim? I will build one. They would even provoke conflict. And I know churches that are provoking all the time. And they are all the time in conflict. Why? But I need to be a victim. So I need aggressor. It's very interesting mechanism. So internalization of violence. When you are a victim, as I talked in previous sessions, suddenly you don't want to be only victim. The clock, this sand clock turns, and then you suddenly start doing to others what somebody did to you. And this is all the time, clock, I'm victim, I'm aggressor. I'm victim, I'm aggressor. And it goes, So it's really like a sand clock. Suddenly you say poor person and then you hear what they did. Or passively aggressively or directly aggressively. So you get surprised. But victim and aggressor are very intergenerational transmission, as I was talking, and social disruption. So it's a very complex process and it's very important to address that. What I researched, how can we break the victim aggressor or victor violence cycle? The point is the same thing like we were talking in transgenerational trauma. We have to break this because it goes like this and then next and then it turns. And then you think, oh, we are at the end, and they are again at the beginning. And then they start talking about the same narrative. Like people like, can't listen to the same story. And this story just has different shape. This time was like this, but the same story again and again and again. So the problem is, how can we break it? How can we get people out of that? So can I have my group again here? Come on. Traumatized. What I would do with them, for example, now they are 10 years already. They developed all their symptoms. Now they are identifying with all of that. They are still closed. Nobody can get in, out, and nobody can get out. Oh, you can't be part of that group. You are not the one that experienced the trauma. You can't belong. You don't know how it is with us. And then this group has their own stories. And they blame this group. It's them. What we need to do is make them tell their stories to them and listen to their story. So we confront them and we start sharing our story. We try to open this circle by sharing the story. So we have to first, to be able to share the story, they must build trust. That's why those sometimes wise and good people in the community can be mediators for that. If you have in Christian community some old nice lady who is there forever, who everybody trusts, who can be the bridge? What needs to happen? For example, if I'm that old lady in the church that everybody trusts, I must become bridge between them. And all of them connect with God. Because here also the broken is connection with God. So my job would be also as a counselor to build a bridge between two groups. So I would say, okay, let's try to tell them the story. How you feel, how you experience. And then I will say, okay, can you listen to their story? So the stories must be exchanged. Because what this group does, to have enemy, they have to dehumanize enemy. They will not say, your name, this person, that person. No, they will say them. So with that, your group doesn't have face, individual face anymore. It's them. It's like, you know, Croats. Well, I have no feelings for Croats. Who are the Croats? But when I see his face, it's not anymore Croats. It's him. It's, you know, I look at his eyes. So I can't stay in dehumanization. I will break this, I feel it. I'm too active. Human connection happens. Dehumanization, it's broken. It's not some Croats, it's him. What needs to happen between them, it's really, look, now I would make them look at your eyes. How do you feel when you look at them? And that would be the first reaction. Yeah, and I would say, not how can you feel bad, look how nice people are. I would say, yes, I fully understand that you feel bad. They hurted you badly. You feel that they hurted you. Never say that's wrong what you feel. Because they really believe it. Maybe there are grandchildren here who have nothing to do with what happened here. But bad. Yeah. Okay, can we ask them to tell us how they feel when they look at us? That would be my creating humanization.
And here it's necessary to have a time, or you establish the time. But that's...
You start walking the path, and you may walk for years, but it's a good path because it will clarify something that you will not give to your grandchildren. Can take forever, like, you know, but it's important when you start walking that path, there is guarantee you will get somewhere, but if you don't, you will never. So that's the point. So that's how we, from this dehumanization, them, we start building human contact, listening to their story. You know, listening to their experiences, listening to their feeling, and making them listening to their feelings and to their stories. This is how the circle of victimhood and violence look like. So aggression happens, psychological changes, trauma, shock, and then we go to shock, panic, anger, suppression of grief, loss of meaning. Those are the steps that we go through. And then desire for justice. This is the one. Desire for justice. You have to pay for it. And this is what is turning us again. And then we turn and we turn and we turn. Because they have to pay for it. Revenge. No forgiveness. Development of God, you know. And then we have to recreate. So, but this is each... like aggressor and victim cycle. You remember how I told you that victim become aggressor? So they just move a little bit. I cry for 3 days, poor me. Then I go, you will see now. So, and then again, poor me. Oh, now they will pay for it. And that's what I do all the time. Like, you know, and then people are confused, like, a poor young woman, like she was crying. And then you see the woman destroyed everybody around. That's the circle we turn around in. How do we get out? This is how. Instead of turning around here, we break cycle by mourning, expressing grief. We start going into this feeling. Yes, it happens terrible. We just mourn. We don't go anymore in that. Now they will pay for it. And then... we accept loss. Name, as I said to group, let's tell them what happens. Why them? The group often have, why did this happen to us, God? Why did you permit this happen to us? In this, I try to give, and you as a counselor leading the groups, your hope. Not even God. Your eyes must show the light of hope. It means that you have to believe in process. You have to believe that you can lead the group out of that. And it means that you give them, you know, hope. So you have to give them blink that there is possible to get out. So people say, somebody told me yesterday how I talk about trauma with lots of hope and joy. Yeah, you were telling. And I really believe it. Trauma is just the beginning. The end is the most wonderful thing. You are transformed to something better. You had privilege to go through pain and suffering to be transformed to the most beautiful person shaped with God's hands through your pain. What can you wish more? I know, and I can tell you now, trauma can be healed. Don't ever forget that. Many secular colleagues tell me, you know, people cannot heal, it stays forever. What stays forever? Transformation can happen. Yes, if I cut myself, the scar will stay. And I will look at that and remind myself, and say, oh my, that was a really bad trauma. But it's a scar. It doesn't shape me anymore. It doesn't determine me anymore. It's reminded me of God's miracle and miracle healing that I went through. That's why I love trauma. It sounds crazy usually when I say that, because I experience the power of transformation. I know that I can have hope for my clients. When they look at me in my eyes, they see that that's not the end. It's a beginning of the journey that I will walk with them together. And that the end will be glory to God, the healer, who transformed me to be better person, better servant, who transformed me through pain and suffering to something most beautiful. That's the point of trauma. So when we walk the path, getting the groups out, engaging offer of a society, so really choosing to forgive. We get this group together. We make them consciously to choose to forgive, not to forget. Don't ever say to groups, oh, they are very offended about talking about forgetting. No, you will remember forever. It's a scarf. You shouldn't forget. You should remember the lessons you learned, but you should forgive. And create your memorial to remember. Go to this memorial, like we go to graves, like we have lots of memorials. And go there and remember and say, oh, we were there. That's what happened to us. But look at us today. We are not there anymore. So establish justice. Justice, it's important. This is complex. I can't tell you in these 5 minutes that I have about justice and why it's important to address justice with the group. When injustice is done, our brain and soul scream for justice. And sometimes you have to say to the groups, I'm very sorry. I work with Palestinians. I worked in Gaza. I'm very sorry. Maybe justice on earth will not be met, but it doesn't mean that it doesn't belong to you. I recognize, and I really believe it. Don't ever say to people something that you don't believe yourself. That's lessons I learned. Things I don't believe, I don't say it. But I really believe it. We will not see always justice on earth, but I do believe that God brings justice. And that's sometimes enough for people to come in peace. And then if we can reconcile two groups. We don't have time to go through all steps, but I would bring them to reconcile. Listen to them, listen to them. Now, look their pain. They suffered also, and you suffered. Can we now respect each other's pain? Always have respect for suffering. Have respect for trauma also. Trauma wants to be respected. Sounds crazy, but it's true. Really, because of transformation, she needs to be respected. What do we want to reach? Peace with God, peace with yourself, peace with the world around you. to bring both groups to that level. And in for, it's not easy to bring people to that. But peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as a world. Do not let your heart be troubled. And do not be afraid. We want to bring people in peace. You know what is the most wonderful thing on earth? That you die in peace. That you die in peace on earth.